Okay, one of my favorite Shabbos table discussions on Chanukah, which I've done for a number of years, and it always turns into a great discussion, especially for those who are not familiar with the Gemara that we're about to actually learn, is the question the Gemara poses if you had only one candle on a Friday night of Chanukah. And the way that the Gemara, of course, has us lighting the Chanukah candles are outside. And the main purpose of lighting the candles outside are for Persume Nisa. It's a message out to be mefarsim, to spread and let everybody know about this particular miracle. And the way that we light Shabbos candles is, of course, inside. And the reason for Shabbos candles is primarily what the Gemara refers to as shalom bayis, that a person should be able to see. They shouldn't stumble and trip. They should see the food that they're eating. You need to have light in order for there to be peace in the home. You can't use the Hanukkah candles for outside. They're specifically not for use. Shabbos candles are inside specifically for use. So the Gemara asks, if you only have one candle, it's Friday night of Chanukah, which message trumps? Do you put the candle outside and spread light to the world and tell this message to everybody who can listen and let them know that there's this light of Chanukah, there's this nace that needs to be made known, but you sit in the dark inside your home, and for one Shabbos a year, it's dark, but you're spreading the light. Or do the Gemara say, you say, no. On Shabbos, yeah, the inside is more important. And the light should be inside, and you use the light. And okay, you're not spreading the light to tonight. This night of Hanukkah, there's no light outside. Which one trumps? And it always is a great discussion in terms of, and people come up with literally fabulous reasons as to which one should, what should you do? What do you do on a Friday night of Hanukkah when you only have one candle? The answer the Gemara, of course, gives is, let me say, forget the Gemara, what would you say if you had to choose?
If I had to choose, I would do Persumanisa.
Persumanisa of Chanukah.
Biased with the Gemara.
You know the Gemara?
Yeah.
Just on your own, what would you say?
Gosh. I would go with Chanukah because you can't push off one mitzvah when you have it in front of you.
So why?
So lighting the Chanukah candle, you have to light it before Shabbos.
We'll get to that later, actually. So you just timing-wise. But in theory, in Hashkafa, which light? Should you light it? Should you sit in the dark and spread the light outside, or do you light up your own home and forget about everybody out there?
Lighting outside is going to spread the concept of Shabbos so that in the future there will
be... Not Shabbos, it's going to spread Chanukah.
Spread Chanukah, so that in future more will come to celebrate or understand Chanukah and Shabbos versus making sure that you're strengthened for that Shabbos so that you can then go out and strengthen others? Teku.
Yeah, Eli, what would you go with? The Gemara notwithstanding, if you had to just, in theory.
Shabbos, Tadar Vishinatar.
I thought of that also, Tadar Vishinatar, but...
The case is, what, only
I have one candle. Yeah, so either I light inside and use the light and I have Shabbos, or I light outside and everybody else sees my I'm mefarsim the nes.
No, it's
go Shabbos. It's a pretty awesome Shiloh. It really it's created really fabulous discussions at the Shabbos table. So the Gemara says,
can you just give us the background of the Gemara before it gets to the question?
The Gemara gets straight to the question. What the Gemara does is it presents these two things. You have these two values. And the Gemara says Shabbos is what's going to trump because of Shalom Bayis. So when you put those things together, you put Shabbos, which is Shalom Bayis, versus Pirsume Nisa, Shalom Bayis trumps. And then what the Gemara does is it really puts it in the context of three topics that the Gemara puts together, which are really a much larger discussion. So the first thing on the table is we have our Shabbos candles, which we'll just do our candlesticks for those who learn better by seeing a picture. Then you have your Hanukkah candles. Shall be our menorah. We need to get a better marker. And then the Gemara is going to introduce wine for Kiddush. Kiddush wine. What does Kiddush wine have? Well, first of all, are these Daraisa, these three mitzvahs? Daraisa Darabanan. Shabbos candles, what do you say? Daraisa Darabanan. It's Rabbanan. You have an inyan of Onik Shabbos, but there's no mitzvah in the Torah specifically about Shabbos candles, but we have a mitzvah derabbanan, an inyan derabbanan. The Rambam says it's not a chiv, it's a mitzvah derabbanan. In order for there to be part of Oneg Shabbos, how many do you need to have? How many candles do you need?
One.
So technically one. How much are you supposed to have ideally?
Supposed to two.
Can I get the two? You should have two lights for your Shabbos Oneg in what's known as Shalom Bayis. That's what the Gemara refers to this as. It's a Shalom Bayis issue. Then you have your Chanukah candles, which we said, what's the main issue of the Chanukah? The rest of the Rabbanan is obviously the Rabbanan, and its main issue is Pirsumei Nisa. What about Kiddush? Using wine for Kiddush. The Raisa de Rabbanan.
The Rabbanan.
So it's Kiddush the Raisa de Rabbanan.
It's Kiddush
the Raisa de Rabbanan. So Kiddush is the Raisa. Excellent. So the idea of making Kiddush is a Daraisa. The idea of the Kiddush is a Daraisa. But using the wine is only mid Rabbanan. Because you can make Kiddush on bread, or you could even just say words. Zachor Yom Shabbos Lakosh means remember Shabbos. So I could really just say the words. The fact that Chazal wanted me to use it on wine is a Rabbanan. Which one happens the most frequently out of all of these?
Kiddush.
Kiddush happens most, because we do it Friday night and day, every Shabbos, as opposed to Hanukkah's 8 nights a year. Shabbos candles are every Friday night and Yontif night, but you're not going to have it during the day. So Kiddush wine has a concept called Tadir. It's common, it's frequent. Says the Gemara, what happens when we play all three of these things off of each other? Which one trumps? The person who only has $1 left to their name on a Friday, or on whatever the situation may be, and you can only do one, what happens when we compare and contrast all of these? So even though we're talking about a specific poor person who only has $1 to their name, we're going to describe the halachic concepts. What trumps? Does Shalom Bayis beat Pirsumei Nisa or Tadir? What's the hierarchy of this list? So the Gemara's first question is what we started with. Shabbos candles, Chanukah candles. It's Friday night, it's Chanukah. I only have one candle. Which one do I do? It's Shalom Bayis versus Pirsumei Nisa. Which one? Trump says the Gemara. Shalom Bayis. Goes, okay, fine, let's do Shalom Bayis versus wine for Kiddush. If it's not a Hanukkah, it's just a regular Friday night. I still have $1 to my name, and I can either go out and buy one candle for me to sit in light, and then I'll have to make Kiddush on bread or just with words, or I can buy wine, which is more Tadir. Which one trumps? Shalom Bayis or that which happens more frequently? Tadir is a primary, we have a concept in Halacha, Tadir v'she'eno Tadir. You do the one that's Tadir first. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, that's why when you get every morning, you have talis and tefillin, you put on your talis first because it's more tadir than your tefillin. So what trumps, the tadir or Shalom Bayis? Says the Gemara?
Shalom Bayis.
Shalom Bayis. So in all three of these equations, if it's Shalom Bayis, Shabbos candles versus the Chanukah candles, Shalom Bayis wins. And if it's Shalom Bayis versus tadir, v'she'enu tadir.
If the Shalom Bayis trump tadir when the... when it's not talking wine, but you're talking of the Araisa?
So,
in other words, if the wine is a Rabbanan, the Shalom Bayis still trump Tadir.
Okay, so right now, fair question. Right now, when all things are equal, meaning the level of obligation is equal, and the question is which one's more important, Shalom Bayis or Tadir, on that the Gemara is willing to say Shalom Bayis trumps. If this would be a mitzvah Araisa, then I think there's room to say that that would trump. But when all things are equal, if you only had $1 and you could either buy wine or a Shabbos candle, buy a Shabbos candle. If you only had $1 and it's a Shabbos candle or a Hanukkah candle, you buy your Shabbos candle. So top on the list is our Shalom Bayis. The Gemara says, okay, fine, what about the two losers in our bracket? We have the losers bracket. The winner trumps them all is Shalom Bayis. That's number one. Pirsumei Nisa lost to Shalom Bayis, and the wine of Tadir lost. What if I have one candle already, and now I have one more dollar on a Friday night, and I can either buy a Hanukkah candle, or I can buy wine for Kiddush. And I now have a Pirsumei Nisa issue versus a Tadir issue. Which one trumps when I've already taken care of Shalom Bayis. That's number one on my list. I have one additional dollar. Which one takes precedence on that second tier?
Tadir.
And what would you say?
Sorry, I wasn't.
If I have one more, I took care of Shalom Bayis. I have my Shabbos candle. Now I have one more dollar. I can either buy a Hanukkah candle for Pirsumei Nisa, or I can buy wine, which has the element of Tadir.
Wine
of Tadir. What do you say, Ellie? Tadir or Pirsumei Nisa? You have one additional dollar. Pursue what we said, just because of Shabbos, you'd go with Pursue Menisa. Yeah, and who are you? Ben Yeshiva? You know the Gemara already.
I don't know. No.
You don't know? Yeah, the Gemara says?
Pursue
Menisa. So the Gemara, if you want to see the Gemara inside, it's on Amar Rava, the underlying piece of the Gemara. Amar Rava, Pshitali Ner Beso V'Ner Chanukah. If it's Pasha to me, if it's Ner Beso V'Ner Chanukah, Ner Beso referring to Shabbos candles versus Chanukah candles, that's Pasha, he says. Ner Beso is odd if you do your Shabbos candles because of Shalom Bayis. Ner Beso V'Kiddush Hayom, if it's between my Shabbos candles and wine, again, Ner Beso is Adav Mishum Shalom Beso. So the Shalom Bayis trumps the other two. And then what Rava had his cash on is the two loser brackets. And he concludes, Pursu Menisa trumps Tadir. Even though Tadir is a valid halachic concept, when it runs up against Pursu Menisa, the Pursu Menisa of Chanukah is so strong that it takes over. So that our hierarchy would be as follows. Shalom Bayis, Pursu Menisa, Tadir.
Is it that Pursu Menisa trumps Tadir, or is that Tadir is not as strong, therefore if you had something else, rather than it going against Pursu Menisa, the other thing would win anyway?
Fair question. That's one of the things we're going to get to. All we know is what the Gemara is talking about is I know Pursu Menisa trumps Tadir. If you want to now ask, well, what if I had something else? Would that also trump Tadir? Good question. What we do see is Tadir can't knock off Pursu Menisa. Even though Tadir is a halachic concept that we would generally go with, when it ran up against Pursu Menisa, the Gemara says, you have one more dollar. If you only have $1, Shalom Bayis is the top of the line. But you should have Shalom in the house. No questions. I have one more dollar. Do I go with Chanukah or Kiddush? Kiddush is Tadir. There's a rule. Tadir v'she'enu Tadir. Tadir comes first. Not if it's going to knock off Chanukah. Chanukah's Pursu Menisa trumps the Tadir element of the wine. And therefore, your hierarchy would be Shalom Bayis, Pursu Menisa, Tadir.
Did you hold the Arisa?
These are all Darabanans. They're all Darabanans. In other words, saying the words of Kiddush are Daraisa.
Yeah.
Using a cup of wine, it's a drabanan. You could use bread, you could just use words. So, but Chazal wanted wine. They wanted you to make it over a cup of wine, but only on a drabanan level. Chanukah is clearly drabanan, and Shabbos candles are only a drabanan aspect of Shabbos. So we have all things being equal. So when the Gemara wants to figure out its value, it says, okay, let's come up with a theoretical case. I only have $1. Shalom and the Bayis is first, Pursu Menisa, Tadir. So far, so good.
Does it matter what night of Chanukah?
It would not matter what night of Chanukah in this discussion. What we could discuss, well, I'll bring it right now, I was going to save it to the end, is let's say I had $1 that I already bought my Shabbos candle, and now I have enough money left for two more candles after I did my Shalom Bayis. I have enough money for two more candles on the second night of Chanukah. Right? So I could buy a total of 3 candles. It's the second night of Chanukah on Shabbos. So my first candle, of course, goes to Shabbos Shalom Bayis. My second candle, of course, is going to go to Chanukah, Pursu Menisa. Now I have $1, one candle left.
Second candle.
I can either buy a Mahajan and a Mahajan candle and a second Chanukah candle, or I could fulfill Shalom Bayis in its best way of 2 Shabbos candles. Who gets the first candle goes to Shabbos, the second candle goes to Chanukah. That's clear. Those are both now in their non-perfect form. Because the best form of Chanukah is 2 candles on the second night, and the best form of candles on Friday night are 2 candles. Where do I put my second candle?
Third candle.
Which one gets the second candle? So I have one for Shabbos, I have one for Chanukah. Where does the other one go? Does it fulfill the best way of Shabbos or the best way of Pursu Menisa?
Shabbos.
Why do you say Shabbos?
It's Trump's.
Because of the hierarchy. Because we went Shalom Bayis, Pursu Menisa, then Tadir. Yeah, what do you say?
Sorry, there's 3 candles.
Total 3 candles. I got you, Shalom Bayis. I lit inside the house. I lit one outside the house, but it's the second night of Chanukah. So should I have...
And there's no way one can be used for both?
Correct. No, because if you use it for Shabbos, I'm not allowed to get... I have to get benefit from it. And if I use it for Chanukah, I'm not allowed to get benefit from it. And it's supposed to be outside the house. So which one trumps now on a Mahadran level? Should I be Mahadir Shabbos, which trumps Pursu Menisa? Or should I be Mahadir Chanukah? So Shimon says, go with your hierarchy. Do Shalom Bayis. You should have 2 Shabbos candles before you do 2 Chanukah candles. Assuming, let's say I can't trade out my, if it's a dollar, I should have bought wine first. I agree with you. In other words, if I have $3, I should buy one candle, a second candle, then wine. I happen to have three candles, and I have wine already. So the question is just, what should I do with this other candle?
Sell the candle and buy wine?
I would say the Shalom Bayis is fulfilled with just with one candle because
right. So Danny says that yes, Shalom Bayis trumps.
One is for the woman, one's for the man, and so you gave one to the woman already, right?
One candle provides enough light; I can see, and therefore, if I didn't have any candle, Shalom Bayis trumps. But I would then go to Pursume Nisa. I'd rather have a Mahajim and a Mahajim for my second. So you would say not the Shalom, you say two for Hanukkah. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Which way'd you go with? Hanukkah?
I'm with Danny.
Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah goes with Danny also. The Mishnah Berurah says, since Shalom Bayis can be fulfilled with one, so once the Shalom Bayis is fulfilled with one, so then you should go to the Mahajim and the Mahajim of the Pursume Nisa, even though if you only had one candle, Shabbos would trump.
Can't the Hanukkah be fulfilled with the one?
It can, but now we're on the Mahajim. On the Mahajim level, Mahajim trumps. Of Hanukkah. Because you have Shalom Bayis. And once I have a candle, I can see. And the goal of why Shalom Bayis trumps is fulfilled because we have light in the house.
Okay,
so far so good. So we have a hierarchy. Shalom Bayis, Pursume Nisa, Tadir. We already see that if I fulfill Shalom Bayis, then I can fulfill more Pursume Nisa. But this is my hierarchy.
I'm going to renew my same question from earlier.
Yeah.
The case you set up was the second night.
Correct. Right.
So my question is there any difference between night one, where it's the initial mitzvah of Hanukkah?
Yeah, and that case that I just gave in night one.
Well, okay, because you don't need three candles anyway.
Right.
I got you. And if it were the eighth night, Zos Hanukkah?
Yeah, so then lighting a third, meaning I have three candles again?
Yeah.
Right, so then there's no reason to light two for Hanukkah because you didn't get any benefit in that. So then I would tell you to light two for your Shabbos. 100%.
What if the choice is between having a second Shabbos candle and having a shamish for the Hanukkah candles?
Good question. I think you would go with, I believe...
The
Shabbos candle.
Sure, Shabbos candle.
Yeah, the Shabbos candle.
The shamish isn't necessary for
it. So
it can be fulfilling both?
If we're lighting inside, yes. But in the pristine case that where you're lighting Hanukkah outside, I still would think, because that's only to make sure that it reminds you not to get benefit, the primary mitzvah of Shabbos in a better way, which that's what I would think, but I don't know that for sure. That's to me in Svara. Okay, so far so good? Move on. This Shabbos, we're going to have an interesting area of shul in which the Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Hanukkah all together. Now, generally what happens on a regular Shabbos is we have seven aliyahs and a haftorah. The haftorah usually is related to the parsha that we read from the Navi. But in order before to read on a regular Shabbos, before we get to that, we add a maftir because it's not appropriate just to read from the Navi without giving it the proper cover to the Torah. So we do seven, then we do a maftir, which is usually just the last few psukim again. Then we go to the haftorah. If it's Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, so then what we do is we read the seven aliyahs, and then the maftir, instead of just repeating the last few psukim of the parsha, the reading of the Torah is a Rosh Chodesh reading, and then the haftorah from the Navi is a Rosh Chodesh leaning as well. If it's just a plain Shabbos Chanukah, not Rosh Chodesh, we would do the same thing. Seven aliyahs, the maftir would be Chanukah, and then the haftorah is Chanukah. That's a regular year on either just a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or a Shabbos Chanukah. What happens when they all converge? And I now have the following problem. I have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah. I got to get my seven aliyahs in, and I got to pick a Haftorah. Which Haftorah do I read? Do I read a Haftorah of Chanukah, or do I read a Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh? Who's going to get the Haftorah of this Shabbos? So says Tosfos, well, let's go to our Gemara. What do we do when we have to choose between Shabbos candles, Hanukkah candles, or wine for Kiddush? We have a hierarchy. And the hierarchy is not really about Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles and Kiddush. It's really about Shalom Bayis, Pursume Nisa, and Tadir v'sheinu Tadir. We have a hierarchy. Shalom Bayis trumps, then Pirsumei Nisa, then Tadir. Well, if we now apply this to figuring out which Haftorah should we read, so the Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh would have what benefit? What Mila? What would
Tadir?
Because we read the, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh 18 days a year, because there are 6, 12 months, it's time it doubles. There are 18 Rosh Chodesh in a year, and there are only 8 days of Hanukkah. So I have Pirsumei Nisa issue, and I have a Tadir issue. And therefore, if I need to choose which Haftorah do I read, which Haftorah would I go with?
Pirsumei Nisa.
And I should have gone with the Chanukah. You know,
the Haftorah counts as part of Pirsumei Nisa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so this is where Tosfos starts from. So Tosfos starts and says, well, if we go with our rules, Chanukah, Pirsumei Nisa of Chanukah, trumps Tadir. Even though Rosh Chodesh has Tadir, Chanukah has Pirsumei Nisa, Chanukah should get it. The Haftorah that we read on Chanukah from Zechariah actually addresses, the Haftorah from Navi actually addresses the menorah and speaks about the menorah, and Tosfos says, yes, that does have Pirsumei Nisa because we actually talk, the Navi speaks about lighting of the menorah.
Isn't it the same as Baha'u'llah or no?
Baloscha, the Parsha Baloscha?
No, the Haftorah.
It might be that, I don't know. It could be, it would make sense, because it's all about the menorah.
It's the Yochanan with the,
I think so.
All the 8 things with the trees, and I think it is.
So therefore, Tosfos says, when we choose a Haftorah, it should be the Haftorah of Pirsumei Nisa, because that's the hierarchy. That leads to a second problem. Before the Haftorah is read, you have to read You have to read a maftir. You have to read a Torah reading. And now we have to get 2 Torah readings in. We have to have a special Torah reading for Chanukah and a special Torah reading for Rosh Chodesh. Well, which one of those should come first? I took out 3 Sifrei Torahs. I read the first 6 Aliyahs. I read Shabbos. Now I need to read a 7th Aliyah. Plus, I mean, I'm going to cram all 7 Aliyahs of the Parsha and Miketz into 6. Now I'm going to get a 7th Aliyah and a Maftir. One of those is going to be the Torah reading of Rosh Chodesh. One of those is going to be the Torah reading of Chanukah. Which one should come first? So now I have the same issue. I have a Pirsumei Nisa issue and I have a Tadir issue. Which?
But it doesn't make in Pirsumei Nisa which one you do first.
Oh.
What's your question? It's still the same Pirsumei Nisa as long as you end up doing it. It's not a question of one or the other.
Excellent. So Tosfos says your exact svar. And Tosfos says, well, wait a minute. This hierarchy was created in a very specific area in which I only have $1. I'm either going to light Shabbos candles or I'm going to light Hanukkah candles. I'm either going to light Shabbos candles or have wine. I'm either going to have Hanukkah candles or wine. In that hierarchy, one or the other, Pirsumei Nisa trumped Tadir. Pirsumei Nisa said, do Chanukah, not whatever the Tadir would be, which in this case was wine. But when it comes time to figuring out in the Torah reading, I already read the 6 Aliyahs of Shabbos. And now I need to read the 7th Aliyah plus a Maftir. One has to be Rosh Chodesh, and one has to be Chanukah. And I have 2 values. I have the value of Tadir and the value of Pirsumei Nisa. Says Tosfos, you're not choosing one over the other. You're only choosing
order.
The order. When you're choosing the order, then what should come first?
Tadir.
This Pirsumei Nisa took precedence when it was either Pirsumei Nisa or bust. You're not going to do Chanukah at all if you do Tadir of wine. Then the Halacha says, the Gemara says, no, Pirsumei Nisa is too strong, you have to do it. But if it now comes to a Haftorah, again, going back to the original question, which Navi should we read? How many Haftorahs are we going to read tomorrow?
One.
Only one. Which one trumps?
Chanukah.
It's going to be Chanukah, because it's either a Haftorah of Chanukah, or it's a Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh. The hierarchy says Pirsumei Nisa trumps. When it comes to the Torah reading of Maftir, we're going to do both. We have to read Chanukah. We have to read Rosh Chodesh. Which one should come first? Rosh Chodesh because of Tadir. So that says Tosfos, if you're choosing one versus the other, then the rule is you go with Pirsumei Nisa over Tadir. And if you can choose both, and it's just a matter of order, then you would go with Tadir. Therefore, Tosfos concludes with what we're going to do on Shabbos. We're going to read 6 Aliyahs, then the 7th Aliyah is going to be Rosh Chodesh of Tadir. Then the Maftir is going to be Chanukah. We're going to read from Naso. And then, which will lead perfectly into the Haftorah, because it should go from Presuminis of the last Aliyah into the Haftorah of Chanukah. And that all works out because we are not choosing an order. We're not choosing one versus the other. We're really just choosing which one should we do first.
Is the Maftir reading even Presuminis? Because that's not really Chanukah.
Excellent. And Tosus adds a second Svara. Tosus adds a second Svara of, since the reading of the Torah reading of Chanukah really has nothing to do with Chanukah, it's really not such Persume Nisa. The Haftorah, he says, is, because it actually speaks about the menorah. But the Torah reading from Parshas Naso of the Karbanos of the Nisim, so that's a weak Persume Nisa. That's another reason why we should read first Rosh Chodesh, then we're going to read Chanukah, and then when it comes to the Haftorah, where Taka is one or the other, we're going to go into Chanukah, because Persume Nisa trumps Tadir.
What's the issue of cramming Shabbos into six aliyahs when we know the concept of a Hosafa anyway? So seven is the minimum requirement of aliyahs on a Shabbos.
Correct.
It's not the maximum.
Correct.
So what would be inappropriate with keeping Shabbos to seven aliyahs?
We could have done it that way. Okay. And that wouldn't impact this discussion, because even if you expended a seven, we'd still have to figure out which one comes next, right?
As an aside.
Okay, so far so good. So quick recap. When it's one versus the other, Tosfos says, or the Gemara says, we have a hierarchy. Shalom Bayis, then Persume Nisa, then Tadir. If it's not choosing one versus the other, so then we would say, we're going to get Persume Nisa in. So if it's just a matter of the order, so then Tadir, the rule of Tadir says that always comes first. That can't trump the Persume Nisa, but it can at least bump up in the terms of the order. So when it comes to choosing which Torah reading first, we would go back to Tadir over Persume Nisa. When it comes to the Haftorah, one versus the other, we're going to go with Chanukah. Yeah.
What if you're not married, and therefore you don't have a Shalom Bayis issue? Say you live by yourself.
So the Shalom Bayis is we use Shalom Bayis to refer to marriage, but it's just the Onik Shabbos of being able to see and not fall and hurt yourself and see your food. So that wouldn't be impacted by that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if just in practical occurrence, if the Gabbai pulls the wrong Torah for Maftir, and he pulls Chanukah first?
Yeah.
Me too. Are you required to read Chanukah because you pulled it?
So now, what you're putting on the scale is two new values. Your new value is, my rule of Tadir should have told me to read Rosh Chodesh. My rule of not being Mevaza Sefer Torah... Well, there you can just roll. Tircha d'tzibura. Tircha d'tzibura. Where does Tircha d'tzibura fit in? And we know, is that how quickly? That would be introducing new values into the equation of figuring that out.
It's like, you know, you're pulling out your Rosh before your Yad.
Correct. Where the always values. And there, where I have no option. I have to put on my Yad first. That trumps the Mavir and Ala Mitzvos. Correct. Those are every time you deal with those. Okay, next case. Ready? It's Friday night, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night before you go to shul, you have to light two sets of candles. You have to light Shabbos candles, Chanukah candles. Which one should you light first?
Chanukah.
Oh, wait a minute, not so fast. Let's actually look at our chart over here. I need to do two things.
Whoops.
One second.
Chanukah first.
I have two mitzvahs to do. I have to do a mitzvah d'rabbanan of Chanukah and a mitzvah d'rabbanan of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. So if I ask you, are you going to do both? You're going to do both. Which one should come first? So according to our rules that Tosfos has set up so far, if it's choosing one versus the other, what's my rule? Presuming Chanukah first, then the Tadr. Which one's more Tadr, Shabbos or Chanukah?
Shabbos.
Obviously Shabbos. But what did Tosfos say when we're not choosing one or the other?
Tadr should go first.
Then Tadr goes first because that's our general rule, which means what should have happened on, or what should happen tomorrow night, Shabbos candles, Chanukah candles, which should come first?
In theory. Shabbos.
In theory, it should have been Shabbos. Okay, why do you say in theory?
Because in practicality, you're accepting Shabbos first, and then you can't light Chanukah candles.
Oh, so now we get into this big issue. So is there another, an independent factor that comes in that will change this? So Danny says, well, when you light candles...
You said it first, though.
What's that? Shimon said it? You said it first.
No, he said first.
Shimon says, Danny says, they all agree, if you light candles, Shabbos candles, you've taken in Shabbos. And since you've taken in Shabbos, you can't light your chas. So in theory, you would light Shabbos candles first, but here we have a separate external issue that says you can't. Now I have a kasha. Is it true that lighting Shabbos candles takes in Shabbos?
Right, you could,
couldn't you have in mind?
Right, you could have in mind to then drive to shul.
Correct. So is it intrinsic to lighting Shabbos candles?
Marasayan.
That it takes a shot. So the halacha, so it's actually, so there's a machloka. The Bahag held yes. The Sefer Baal Halachas Gedol held that lighting the bracha of Hadlahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos equals its Shabbos. You've accepted Shabbos with your hadlaka. Most of the Rishonim argue on this, and they say
by hulu is when you
correct. Later, when you accept Shabbos, lighting Shabbos candles can be an acceptance of Shabbos, but it's not intrinsic. Normally, and this is in fact, that's why. So we break down the halacha as follows. This is how we break down the halacha. It's not intrinsically accepting Shabbos, but we assume that when a woman lights Shabbos candles, we assume she's taking in Shabbos. Which is, by the way, if you've ever wondered why your wives do this whole little thing with their hands and they cover their eyes, where does that come from and why do they do that? So there's some Kabbalistic stuff, I'm sure, but there's also very practical halachic reasons for that. Generally, when we make a bracha, do we make a bracha before fulfilling the mitzvah or after fulfilling the mitzvah? Always before. It's what's known as over la'asiyasin, before you do it. That's the general. You want to shake lulav and esrog? So first you make the bracha, and then you hold it in the right way in order to fulfill it. When you lit Chanukah candles tonight, you made a bracha, and then you light. That's always how we do mitzvahs, your talis, your tefillin. We always make the bracha, and then fulfill the mitzvah. So a woman, however, has a problem, because since we assume that she is taking in Shabbos with her lighting, if she were to make the bracha first, then she can't light, because as soon as she lights her first candle, she's taking in Shabbos, then she's got all this, then how does she blow out the candle and light the rest of the candles? It's a mess of a halachic chil Shabbos issue with her taking in Shabbos. So what does she do? So she lights all the candles, and then she's going to make a bracha. Except that's a little bit backwards. So instead what she says is, I'm going to cover my eyes after I light the candles, so that I don't get any benefit from the light, because the purpose of Shabbos candles is to get benefit. So I light them. I cover my eyes to say I'm not getting any benefit. It's as if they're not lit. I make the bracha, and then, poof, it's as if they first have been lit now. So that I can fulfill both elements of the assumption that I'm taking in Shabbos with my bracha.
Why are we making the assumption?
Because the assumption is that's where the default position of a woman is that when she lights her candle, she's taking in Shabbos. A man's default position is not that way. When a man lights Shabbos candles, we assume he's going to drive to shul and daven mincha still.
So why wouldn't you have the woman light Shabbos candles and then the man light?
Oh, hold on a second. We're going to get to your suggestion. So let's just get Hilcha Shabbos straight. So when a woman, so because there's an assumption that she's taking in Shabbos, so she lights the candles, covers her eyes so that she doesn't get any benefit, makes the bracha, and then she fulfills the mitzvah, of, so to speak, in lighting the candle, now she gets the benefit.
You have me at the assumption part. Who's making the assumption?
Women are makabal. Women have accepted upon themselves that when they light, that's the default. She could say to herself, I'm not accepting Shabbos. She can't. Without any thought, the default position of a woman is, I'm taking in Shabbos when I light Shabbos candles. That's how women have passed it down to their mothers or their grandmothers. From their...
Why don't they say the bracha first?
Because then they'd be accepting Shabbos with their bracha, and then they can't light. Because they're taking Shabbos.
And they just like have a mind like not to have that problem.
So technically, so we do something similar when we wash our hands on the tilas yadayim. Technically speaking, before you wash for bread, what should have the order been?
You should make the bracha then.
You should have held the cup in your hand, said Asher ki d'shanu mitzvos on the tilas yadayim, and then washed. Why don't we do that? I'm saying, but why don't we do the normal way? That's how we make a bracha on our tefillin. That's how we do the talis. We get it ready. That's how we do our lulav and esrog. We should hold a cup of water in our hands, asher ki d'shanu mitzvos al netilas yadayim, and then wash our hands. And we don't do that because there's a concern that the reason why we're washing our hands are not clean. We're not in a position to make a bracha. So we wash first, which is backwards, and then in an attempt to at least make the bracha while we're still involved in the mitzvah, you're supposed to make the bracha while your hands are still wet, so that you're still sort of involved in the washing when you make the bracha. Because really, you should have made the bracha before you even washed. So a woman has the same issue. She's got this halachic dilemma. So she lights, and then she covers her eyes. This part is totally not halachic. That's just something else. But the covering of the eyes is very halachic. I don't want to get any benefit. I make my bracha, and then I can get benefit. But that's the default position, because we assume that a woman's accepted. If a woman knows that she's got to go to bar mitzvah and shul, so she can say to herself, the Mishnah Berurah writes, she could even be in her heart, she doesn't have to actually verbalize it, and she could say, this week, I'm not accepting Shabbos with my lighting. Then she could light, make a bracha, drive to shul, daven mincha, do whatever she wants to do, and take in Shabbos later. If she thinks that. But without thinking anything, her assumption. But a man, that's not even his default position. We assume if he's lighting candles, he's still going to daven mincha. He's not taking in Shabbos. He's going to take in Shabbos when he davens. There is no intrinsic Kabbalah Shabbos with lighting candles. We assume a woman is. That's because we assume so, but she could change that. And we don't even assume a man is.
So you've explained the washing. You've explained the candle lighting.
Yeah.
How do you explain the man who's sitting in his sukkah to make kiddush and then says leishev basukkah?
Meaning he should have made the bracha before walking into the sukkah.
Before he sat down. But if his minhag is to sit for kiddush, he's made the kiddush while he's sitting, and then he says leishev basukkah.
The answer to that, I believe, is because we in general don't make a bracha on being in the sukkah. We only make a bracha when it comes to eating. In other words, we could have asked your question a step earlier. Okay. The person just goes to sit in the sukkah for an hour. Shouldn't he make a bracha leishev basukkah? He should, except we pass him not to. Chazal attached it to food. And therefore he makes kiddush, and then he can make his leishev, because that specific bracha is attached to food, even though intrinsically he shouldn't have made it just stam walking in, but we don't do that. So now I go back to my original question. It's Friday night, tomorrow night, Friday afternoon. You're in your house. You have to do two adlakas, Shabbos and Chanukah. Which one should come first? Let's just say you're a man at home alone. Which one should come first? Right? Halacha l'maisa. What should you do first, Shabbos or Chanukah? So according to our rules, what should have happened?
Shabbos
should have come first. Because since I'm going to do both, the Tadir v'she'enu Tadir should have trumped the Pirsum Enisa. Except what do we do?
We do Chanukah.
Everyone knows it yet. Everybody knows. You do Chanukah first. Why? It's against all the rules.
Seemingly against the rules.
Correct.
Because a low sasa trumps a nasa.
So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and just that's what you should do, and it seems simply because it would be confusing. It would be troubling. You'd have these backward situations of the women who generally do light candles first. So, and as I would say, if we played by the rules in our homes, assuming we weren't home alone, what would happen? So we'd say, okay, Shabbos candles first. So who would like the Shabbos candles? So generally the woman likes the Shabbos candles. So she normally accepts Shabbos when she lights Shabbos candles. The man didn't. He's going to drive to shul and daven mincha first. But now we'd have a situation in which everyone's gathered around. So the woman lights Shabbos candles. Now it's Shabbos for her. But it's not for me. And then I'm going to light Hanukkah candles. And so it just seems like it would be just a totally bizarre situation. So that even though, in theory, the rules should have been Tadir trumps and Shabbos candles should trump, we don't do it that way. And we go in order of what makes more logical sense, which is take care of your Hanukkah lighting and then take in Shabbos, even though that's actually against the hierarchy of what should have happened. So far, so good? Last case. Going back to, just summarize. So we have, when it's one versus the other, we had Shalom Bayis, Pirsume Nisa, Tadir. If it comes to laning, and I'm going to do both the Tadir and the Pirsume Nisa, so then Tosa says, when you're going to do both, so then the Tadir should trump, take care of what happens more often, you'll get to the Pirsume Nisa. In that rule, when you're going to do both anyway, and it's just a matter of choosing an order, there Tosa says Tadir trumps because of Pirsume Nisa. Tadir would trump
because
you're going to get to the Pirsume Nisa anyway, so the Tadir would trump, which seems to lead us to the rule of, when I'm dealing with the concept of Tadir, Tadir is not strong enough versus something else. So if it's one versus the other, But if it's
both are to be
both, again, then we apply tadir.
So what if you didn't have a shamash candle for the Hanukkah Eros? Would you do Shabbos first, then the Shabbos candles can be serve as the shamash for?
You're still talking in today's modern day where we light inside.
Okay.
In theory, you have to remember Hanukkah is outside the house. You get no light from it because it's not in your house.
Okay.
So your case now would be what? I have how many candles?
You're one short with all your Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles. So you can't have a shamash for the Hanukkah candles if you want to light the proper number of Shabbos candles.
Right. So I still think the shamash is, since it just serves as a reminder not to use it, that if I had another intrinsic use of that candle, I would think that that candle should be used for something more intrinsically valuable than just to serve as a reminder lest you come and use your Hanukkah lights. That's what I would think, just my own svara. So according to our rules, tadir gets pushed off when it's persuminisa or tadir, and it does play a role when it's choosing an order. So the Achronim ask, well, what happens if I actually have tadir in a scenario in which it is one or the other? Does that play a role? For example, the Yerushalmi, or what happens in a situation in which I have only enough money to buy a pair of tefillin or a mezuzah? The Gemara wants to know, what should I do in that scenario? I can only do one. I have enough money to either buy a mezuzah for my home, or I could buy a pair of tefillin. Which one should trump?
It's either an expensive mezuzah or a crummy pair of tefillin.
Yeah, but in the world of theory,
you're saying persuminisa should trump.
Well, I don't have persuminisa. I'm talking tefillin and mezuzah. The Gemara wants to know, I could buy one. Which one should trump? Forget about tadir for a second. Just want to ask a new question in terms of hierarchies.
Mezuzah.
Why mezuzah?
You can throw in shalom bias again. It's in your house.
It's on your house. Protects your house.
Protects your house. Same thing as the shalom bias is protecting your house. Others can benefit from it other than you, who are the only one that can wear the tefillin.
That's not true. You can
share your tefillin with others?
Share your tefillin with other people.
I suppose. I was talking about non-men.
Right. But you have the ability to make more brachos on a set of tefillin every day as opposed to
mezuzah. Okay, so if you look at the brachos area, you'd go with tefillin. Yeah, what other svaras? How would you choose this?
You're doing something by tefillin.
Tefillin is more active. Okay, what's referred to as a mitzvah shebegufo. It's actually something that goes on, you have to do with your body every day as opposed to mezuzah, which goes on your house. Actually, it's another svar to push towards tefillin. Yeah, any other svaras? Why would I have, to choose one or the other?
Someone's got four parts here.
What's that?
Are you getting a mitzvah every second by mezuzah?
Are you mekayim a mitzvah every second by mezuzah? I don't know, in the world of the in Shemayim, like how that counts, I don't know.
If you carry four amos in your answer.
Yeah.
Oh, and the tefillin bais includes the cloth for the mezuzah. And others. So you already have the mezuzah inside the tefillin, and other parshios.
So the Yerushalmi asks this kasha.
You just take your tefillin out, just hang it on the wall.
The Yerushalmi asks this kasha. The very last piece of Gemara, Maseches Megillah, the very 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 last piece of Gemara asks this question: if a person has a choice between tefillin or mezuzah, which one should he go with? So the Gemara presents a machlokas amorai. The Gemara says Shmuel says you go with a mezuzah. And Rafuna says you go with the tefillin. It's a machlokas. What are the reasonings?
Well, also in the parsha of the Ahavta, it mentions the tefillin before the mezuzah, right?
That's right. Excellent. Okay, so lots of sorahs on both sides. You're arguing for the tefillin.
Right, because it's mentioned first.
So the Gemara presents the following reasons. Gemara says, what's the reasons for Shmuel? Shmuel, who held you go with the mezuzah, says Shmuel, Shekeni noheges biyomim tovim uvishabasos. That mezuzah
is there all
year, and tefillin, you can't have it on Shabbos and Yontif. Gemara says, okay, what does Rafuna say to that? That sounds like a nice argument. Says Rafuna, yeah, but tefillin is noheg, even if you're traveling and you're a seafarer or you're going through the desert. But if you're a traveler, you don't have the mitzvah of mezuzah. It only is on your house. And if you're a renter or a traveler, the mitzvah doesn't apply. But the mitzvah shebagufo of tefillin, wherever you are, you have the obligation. So the Gemara says, we have reasons on both sides. The reason of Shmuel to buy your mezuzah is because Shabbos and Yontif, it's always there. Rafuna says, no, the reason why you should go with tefillin is because you're always around. And whenever you go, you have the chiyuv. The mezuzah is only if you have a house. If you're traveling, you don't have the obligation. The Gemara supports Shmuel that you should buy a mezuzah. And it brings a Gemara of Malam Makodesh Vilei Marid, in that if you had a piece of cloth, you can make from tefillin into a mezuzah, but you can't make from a mezuzah into tefillin. It holds that mezuzah has a higher level of kedusha, and that's how it discusses, that's how it concludes from that. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger from this Gemara, but how do, he learns pshat in the Gemara. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about which one is more tadir. Well, I shouldn't say it quite that way. That Shmuel's argument of Shabbos and Yontif, what Shmuel is arguing is that mezuzah is more tadir than tefillin. And Rafun is arguing that the chova shebeguf, what a bodily type of mitzvah, trumps tadir. So that Rabbi Akiva Eger sets up the machlokas as follows. Shmuel's holding, you look at it from a tadir v'sheinu tadir perspective. Which one's more tadir, tefillin or mezuzah? Mezuzah, because it happens 365. And Rafun is arguing, yeah, but there's something equivalent to Pursu Menisa here. The equivalent to Pursu Menisa is that tefillin is what's called a chovash taguf. It's, you have an obligation to do something, and that trumps...
So that gets back to the question I asked earlier, is there Pursu Menisa outside of Chanukah?
Excellent. And that's the conclusion that we have. Pursu Rabbi Akiva Eger learns, the Gemara concludes that Shmuel is right, which means... Even though Tosa said Tadir does not trump Pursu Menisa when you can do both, that's only because Pursu Menisa is so strong, or you're going to end up doing Pursu Menisa, so then Tadir takes it over. But Tadir does apply if it's one or the other. I have Tefillin or Mezuzah. What criteria does Shmuel use to determine which one it should be? He uses Tadir. Unless there's an external force, tadir does work even if it's one or the other, unless there's an external force that overrides it. The chovas haguf of tefillin does not override it according to the Gemara, but pirsume nisa does. So going back to your original question, yeah, tadir is in general pretty powerful. Tadir will not only tell us which one you'll do when you're going to do both, tadir sometimes tells us which one you'll choose when you can only choose one. We paskin Shmuel that when I can only choose one, tefillin or mezuzah, I choose the one that's more tadir. It is not just an order, it does tell us, even if it's to the exclusion of the other one, unless it runs up against the Pirsume Nisa of Chanukah. The Pirsume Nisa of Chanukah is so strong that will even trump a tadir, and will fulfill, we'd rather have the Pursu Menisa of Chanukah. But alone, without Chanukah, Tadir is a strong enough argument to say, I can use Tadir to determine one versus the other when I will, in fact, do something.
So if your question is mezuzah versus Chanukah, you've got $1 to buy either a mezuzah or a ner for Chanukah.
Correct.
Then what are you telling me?
Excellent. So now I have the tadir of mezuzah and the Pursu Menisa. So based on the Gemara, that would go back to your other question, because mezuzah is daraisa. In other words, when they're all equal derabanans, so then the derabanan of Pursu Menisa trumped tadir. If you introduce that question of a mezuzah versus Pursu Menisa, you've now tipped the scales in which my tadir now has an additional factor of being a mitzvah daraisa. I would think we can make an argument to do that.
Right.
I haven't seen that, but I could hear that argument, that these all have to be equal for that to come out. So it comes out in conclusion of all of this confusing different rules and regulations. The Gemara starts with three equal things, all drabanans, in an either-or scenario. Either a Shabbos candle or a Hanukkah candle. Shalom Bayis is number one. Either Shalom Bayis or Tadir, Shalom Bayis always trumps. Shalom Bayis is the most important factor. When it's one versus the other, you always go with Shalom Bayis. Yeah.
With tefillin versus mezuzah, what about according to the opinion that tefillin is actually two separate mitzvos, not just one?
Excellent. So it seems to me that the Gemara is just lumping them together and saying you still would go with mezuzah.
Okay.
Because the Gemara makes that clear, like, well, I assume you'd have two. So I'm assuming that because the Gemara still addresses it that way, it's not assuming you only had one. It's a fair question, and I would assume from the Gemara that it assumed you had
this
both.
This is also assuming that the mitzvah of mezuzah is mekayim every day that you have a mezuzah in your house.
Right, like you're saying, I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
And that's still a debate. How do you trump that? So again, in summary, when you have one or the other, it's exclusionary. The Gemara comes up with a hierarchy of Shalom Bayis, Presume Nisa, Tadir. When we have to choose how to do the laning, which is going to be an issue of order, there Tosa says, well, since you're going to get the Presume Nisa in, so then Tadir should bump up, and you should we're going to lane, as we're going to do on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh first, then Chanukah, then when it comes to the Haftorah, where it's an either-or, we're going to go back to Chanukah and lane a Chanukah Haftorah, because it's one or the other, and when it's one or the other, Presume Nisa trumps.
Couldn't you do, like, when you have Rosh Chodesh that comes out on Sunday and you read like the first
like the last pasuk, yeah, technically I guess you could have
so
done
you could
that
have
but
introduced
yeah Tosfos assumes we're like that tirchut, we're just going to have one haftarah, and we don't want to do the two. When it comes to Friday afternoon lighting, which is also an order thing, Shabbos candles, Chanukah candles, technically, since we paskin lighting Shabbos candles does not intrinsically accept Shabbos, we therefore should have gone with Tadir first. We should have lit Shabbos candles, but that seems to be a practical mess. So we flip the order in order not to get engaged in Chilul Shabbos potential. Just we avoid the whole thing. Do your Chanukah candles first. However, we do say Tadir is strong enough when it's an either-or situation alone. We do use Tadir, as Rabbi Kiveger says, we would paskin to buy mezuzah before tefillin because mezuzah is Shabbos and Yontavit is more tadir. So which therefore we conclude this Gemara of the exclusionary thing where we put Presume Nisa above tadir is not because tadir is intrinsically weak when it comes to which one do, even in an either-or situation. Tadir is very strong in an either-or situation. We would use tadir to determine which one should be excluded, not just for order. We do use tadir, but just not against Presume Nisa. The Presume Nisa of Chanukah trumps that. It trumps everything except for Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is the most important thing we can do. Then you get to the Presume Nisa and then Tadir, as far as the hierarchy as to how all these things come together. Okay, those are some thoughts.
Is that why you would still put on your tefillin before going out and buying a mezuzah on the same day? If you had the ability to do both.
And you're eventually going to get to your mezuzah?
Right, so then you would still put on tefillin first. But if it's either or, then you should just buy the mezuzah rather than tefillin?
Right, if you're going to be able to do both, you could do right. Either or, you would do your tadir. Okay. Enjoy. Yeah.